All right, welcome back. So I posed the question earlier this morning, how does a bank collapse within 48 hours, especially one that was on the Forbes greatest banks list and just 6 days ago? And Silicon Valley Bank answered, basically facing a sudden bank run, capital crisis, collapsing on Friday and the Fed took over, officially becoming property for now of federal regulators, becoming the second largest failure of a financial institution in history. And not only were they named in Forbes' top banks, as I mentioned, America's ranking Monday before the collapse, the executives were reportedly paid bonuses, sometimes just hours before the catastrophic spiral began. Here to break it down is the media strategist and host of What's Bugging Me podcast, Dennis Neal. Dennis, you had a previous career and a lot of finance knowledge, huh?
Sure. Well, I had a front row seat at CNBC in 08, 09 as that meltdown starts. And in my long career as a financial journalist, I had never been more afraid. So how much is this new crisis like that one? Well, if you're inside Silicon Valley, it feels exactly like it or worse. Let's remember that half of all VC-backed companies had money at Silicon Valley Bank. Half of all biotech firms had money at Silicon Valley Bank. A lot of them are worried that come Monday, they're not able to make payroll. So it's quite a crisis that's spreading. There's a crypto called USDC that itself now fell below the dollar when it's never supposed to do that because it had money at Silicon Valley Bank. So how do you stop these ripple effects from going too far? And if you look on Twitter, you'll see that some of these Silicon Valley guys are super afraid. I mean, Bill Ackman, the famous short seller, meaning he bets on doom, he puts stuff up. Here's Jason Calacanis. He's host of the All In podcast and a startup podcast. He's an amazing tech guy, but he's clearly more afraid than I've seen Jason in quite a while. He's basically saying that all these companies, like you see this Lindsay woman here, she's got a company. She can't make payroll because it's tied up in the bank. And he's saying 1,000 startups just like this are about to implode because they've deposited their money into a bank account with a top 20 bank. How can this be? And he's saying the back channel is very dark. Insiders are watching the fuse slowly burned down to the powder keg. We are helpless to stop it. And then Jason Calacanis, who is a liberal and a supporter of the Biden administration, criticizes the Biden administration to say, if it's true that they're blocking some people from trying to buy this bank, this is terrible and the administration needs to be fired en masse. So this is kind of showing that Jason, who's super wealthy because he put like $200,000 in the Airbnb and turned it into $200 million reportedly, Jason's afraid. And if he's afraid, shouldn't everyone else be afraid?
So let's talk about the similarities between this and 2008. You made some comments to me in the break that were really insightful based on who was in charge.
Well, at 2008, you know, the Bush administration is just finishing up. And Hank Paulson, the just recent CEO of Goldman Sachs, one of the most powerful, smartest banks in the world, he's Treasury Secretary. And so he's running things. And the Obama people come in and they say, hey, man, keep going. And that helped the system a lot because of his expertise. Now Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, is an academic, is a Fed head, knows, I think, very little about business and business sentiment, and she spends way too much time applying the Biden line on diversity and inclusion and ESG and going over to Ukraine to say, hey, we're going to give you money. We've given reportedly $100 billion to Ukraine. This would take basically a $2 billion gap that the bank lost so that, you know, we'll cover it up, and then everything will be fine. If the government would come in on Monday morning or Sunday night and say, we hereby guarantee that all the people who put cash into this very big bank, all these people are going to be fine. This will end the crisis and the fear instantly. These people did not put money into CDOs, synthetics, wild Bitcoin. They put money into a bank that was the 16th largest. And the bank lost only less than $2 billion in a trade on bonds. And that's only 1% of the bank's total assets. That's not what hurt it. What hurt it is the fear and people fanning the fear. And then they pulled out, I think it was $42 billion, 20% of their total assets in a single day. I'm not sure JP Morgan Chase could survive a move like that.
That is, I mean, it's substantial because banks, as I said earlier in the show, banks don't have all the money that's invested in the bank on hand.
Well, it's the whole It's a Wonderful Life of Jimmy Stewart. Your money's not here at the bank. Your money's in Jose's house, and your money's over here in this mortgage. And yeah, that's exactly true.
Yeah. So, but, you know, the big question now, who's at fault and how do you hold them accountable?
Okay, so let's remember that you know, we should always start with our own fault, okay? If you're a person who had $500 million of your money at a bank, even though only $250,000 is insured in an FDIC account, that would be partly your fault. The bank executives, okay, understand that the real fault, though, is the Fed, okay? The Fed raised interest rates so fast, so quickly, so high that these bonds that we're paying 1.5% for this bank suddenly are worth less than half of what they were because interest rates have risen 4% or something.
Costing them money.
Yes. And so if the Fed hadn't done that and raised too fast, then this never would have happened. The bank would have been fine. It wouldn't have had to sell. But then people worried about that effect, and so they start pulling their money out, and then the bank has to sell more stuff to give them their money. And then they're having to sell at a loss, and then they end up having to report the loss. So the bank messed it up with its communications. The bank messed it up by, you know, selling more than it should have. Okay, but the Fed caused this problem for everyone. And the reason that Wall Street and the banking and the tech sector are more worried now is because there are other banks who also have their money in 1.5% bonds when you could instead get a brand new bond at 4%. And what are they going to do? The Wall Street Journal said $650 billion in unrealized losses so far on those bonds that the big banks were told to invest in after the last meltdown. Hey, you got to be in safe government securities. Man. And so they put it into government securities, and then the Fed just ruins it for
and
them.
You know what? So it's the government's fault. Great job, government, as always.
But you know what? You've got to be able to navigate that. So really, it's their fault first.
True. Fair point. Fair point. I like to blame the government because I think they're pretty much incompetent at everything. Yeah. Dennis Neal, host of the fantastic podcast What's Bugging Me, available on Ricochet and iTunes. I assume you're going to discuss this and more.
Yes, we're going to go wild on this one.
All right. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Carl.